Okay, we're holding on Chaf Gimel on the Beis, two lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that, let's go back. The first Mishnah of the Perek had described four kinds of Nedarim that are not Chal in the first place. We discussed the pros and cons of whether that means that they're automatically Batur without even Hatara, or do you need some kind of Hatara for them as well. One of them was Nidre Zeruzin, where you're making a neder basically just to encourage somebody else to see things your way. The example the Mishnah had given with two people bargaining over something that's over an item in a store. Then we had our Mishnah had said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that also you have a case, a person wants to make somebody else accept a neder that I'll eat by him, then the mission we learned from the Gemara, the Chsuri Mechser over there, the Mishnah is missing words, and the implication is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that's another example of Nidre Zeruzin, of this neder, which is basically just meant as a bargaining chip, not as a serious, full-fledged neder. Now, the Boilers, and now they had a question. First of all, Pligi Rabbanan Aleh did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eloi. Number one, do the other Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Maybe they would say, when you're talking about the case in the first Mishnah of the Perek, when two people are bargaining over something, or one person says, I won't sell it for less than X, and the other, I won't buy it for more than X, fine. I mean, it's understandable, you know, they're bargaining. They're more likely to be willing to, in the first place, you know, yes, I'm selling it for four dinarim for a seller, but I'm really willing to accept three for it, and vice versa. Whereas over here, when somebody is trying to get somebody else to eat by him, maybe he means it sincerely. Maybe that should be a real neder, or maybe not. The imtim tzalim plugi, and then if you're going to say that in fact they do argue, then the question is hilchos akavasei eloi. Then is the halacha like him? Now, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Let's say that they argue. So who is the halacha like? Now, we have a rule we've talked about in the past, we learned in Yevamos, that the halacha, Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'naki, that the statements of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are few, but they're pure, they're clean, in the sense that the halacha is pretty much always like him. So the on the face of it, the Rosh says, the Gemara shouldn't have a reason to ask whether the halacha is like him, but the answer is, here you could argue, if the Chachamim argue with him, then what they're saying is a very logical thing. There's a very logical reason to distinguish between bargaining versus trying to get somebody to eat by you. But maybe indeed, in this case, the halacha wouldn't be like him. Okay, Toshma, Ditnan, well, let's see. We learn in a Mishnah, later on in the Masechta, Ha'om al-Chaveri, Koinam shani nanaloch, a koinam that koinam sheini nanalocha, actually the Ram says not sheini but shani nanalocha, a koinam on what I would have hana from you, imat a noita levincha kursho chitin ushtei chavis shoyayin. If you do not take from me, I want to offer you for your son a kur of wheat and two barrels of wine. So not really for the son. So Reuben is trying to offer Shimon. Reuben is trying to offer Shimon a present. And the Rosh points out it's actually, even though he's saying vincha, really it's a nicer way of saying it. Really, he means for you yourself. So Reuben wants Shimon to accept this gift, a quart of wheat and two barrels of wine. Shimon doesn't want it. So Reuben tries to force the issue. He says, if you don't accept this gift from me, Then I'm not going to have any further hana from you. I'm not going to ever do. I'm making a neder that I'm going to be also to ever derive any benefit from your possessions.
The question is.
So is that a valid neder? Is that a valid neder? Harei yochel lahatir es nidre shalei al pi chacham. He's able to be matir the neder even without a chacham. Meaning, on the face of it, it sounds like it means that you don't actually need to do atzeres nedarim. Some of Farshim, in fact, learn that's exactly what it means. The Rosh says that not necessarily. We'll say why in a second. The Rosh says it's not really a matter of that you don't need a Chacham at all. It's the point is that you don't need the Chacham to find you a Pesach. It's a very obvious Pesach right here. Namely, Shiyachal Loimaloi, because Shimon can say, look, what's the whole reason why you're trying to force the issue? Because you want to honor me by giving me this gift. Good. Zeru Kavodi. It's more my honor. It's more my honor that I have more covered from the fact that you're offering it to me than I don't take it. The fact that you're offering it is itself a big cover to me, and the fact
okay, but if he doesn't take
the
it,
fact that he doesn't take it, okay, no, but it's not. It's a covered for me that I don't need it. that I don't need it. And also there's the expression that a couple of Mepharshim bring in this connection, the famous expression, Ritzono shel adam zeh kvodo, that what a person wants, the biggest covenant to a person is to do what he wants. So I'm saying, I don't want to take this quart of wheat and these two barrels of wine. You'll honor me more by not forcing me to take it. So consider it already given.
And you're saying the biggest covenant is to do what someone else wants. So here's someone who's asking someone else to,
You want to give me a matana. I don't want to accept the matana. It's an honor for me that you offered me the matana.
So he's not giving cover.
He is. You have the cover that you offered. I have the cover that you offered to me. My cover is that I shouldn't accept it. The people, as we're going to say later, actually, the Gemara is going to mention a reason behind it. There's a reason. Wait. You know. By the way, what's the solution of a davka, a quart of wheat and two barrels of wine? So the Ostrovtser, one of the great Polish rabbeim about 100 years ago, makes a whole calculation. He explains at some arichos based on figures that are given elsewhere in a Mishnah at the end of Peah and in some other places about the amount that the average person eats and drinks per day. He calculates that a quart of wheat is exactly enough for a person to eat for a year. When you take the number of days in a year and subtract the fast days, then it comes out to exactly a quart of wheat. And similarly with the wine, if you calculate, he says, the number of days in a year and subtract the 9 days, you'd subtract the fast days plus the 9 days when you don't drink wine, then you're left with exactly two barrels. You're left with exactly two barrels of wine. Anyway, it's a chap. Anyway. So, time of Amazel Kwadi. So, what's the implication? Only because he says it's my covered, I'd rather let's consider it already given. Halav hachi nederu, which would imply that if not for that, it would be considered a real nether. The fact that this guy is saying, if you don't accept it from me, then I'll be also to ever have hana from you. Now we have to consider money. So, who would this Mishnah be like? Irav Elazar ben Yaakov. So let's assume, and again, let's assume we started with the question, are Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim arguing? On our case in Mishnah, when somebody is trying to get somebody else to eat by him and makes a neder to that effect. If you're going to say it, so you have the possibility that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying it in the Mishnah, and everybody else agrees to him, or you have the possibility that he's saying it's Nidre Zeruzin and the Chachamim are saying that the case in our Mishnah is a real neder. Now, as far as this Mishnah later on in the Masechta about the quart of wheat and the two barrels of wine, so who would this Mishnah be like? Irav Elazar ben Yaakov, Nidre Zeruzin have you. If you're going to say it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the whole thing would be a Nidre Zeruzin. You don't even need the excuse that it's kvodi, it's more my covered to not accept your gift. The according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the whole concept would be Nidre Zeruzin. You never meant, it was never piv v'libe shavin to say that really if you don't accept it, then I'm actually going to ban myself from ever having
speech.
It's a figure of speech, basically. It's a bargaining chip, like the example that we had over the last couple of days. Yeah. So that would evidently that would be the Hagoras Habach had El Lav Rabbanon. Wouldn't it be then that Mishnah later on is according to the Rabbanon? Shmamina Pligi, which would show Shmamina Pligi Rabbanon Alei, which goes to show that the Rabbanon do argue with him. So the Rabbanon would say a case like our Mishnah where he's saying, come eat by me, and if not, I'm making a neder, that would be a real neder. The case with the Kurish Ochitin or Shtei Chavi Shriyayin would also be a real matter, except for the fact that the guy can say, you know what, fine, consider as if I already received it. That's my cousin. So we see that they do argue with him. The Gemara answers, La'odam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He, no, you could actually answer that Mishnah later on is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Moedir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov behind the Nidra Havi, because in that case, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would have to agree that's considered more of a neder. The Amar Lay, because the person can argue back, like you know why I don't want to accept your gift, like Kalba, no, I'm not a dog, that I'm having hana from you and you're not having any hana from me. It's the other way around, actually. The person who's offering the gift can argue. The person who's offering the gift can argue, you know what, all this time you've been doing good for me, this is why I want to give you a gift. If you don't accept it, if you don't accept it, then you're making me like a dog. You're making me like I'm taking from you and I'm never giving anything. So therefore, I insist that you accept this gift. So this is more of a serious neder than the case of our Mishnah of Nidre Zeruzin, where he just wants the guy to come and eat a meal by him, which isn't necessarily. So the Ran gives actually two different possibilities that the.
So he has to continue.
One second. The Ran gives two possibilities what the issue is over here. Number one is the difference between that later Mishnah and our Mishnah. One possibility is that in the Braisa. Not the Braisa, the later Mishnah, rather, the later Mishnah about the Kor Shochitim, the one who's offering the food is saying, if you don't take it, then I will be also to have hana from your nechassim. Whereas in our Mishnah, it's the other way around. The one who's offering the invitation is saying, if you don't accept my invitation, then you're going to be also to have hana from my stuff. So that's the difference. The case, he has a more valid reason to argue that I want you. In our Mishnah, he's saying, I want you to eat by me, and if not, you're going to be also from my custom. Fine, but you could argue that that's a figure of speech. Why are you, just if the guy doesn't want to eat by you, therefore you're going to ban him from all your nechassim? It's a nidre zeruzin. But if you're saying over here that if you don't accept my gift, then I will be also to have hana from any of your nechassim, that may be a more serious thing, because then you have this argument about I don't want to just give and not take. The other way around, I don't want to just take and not give. So therefore, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might argue that the story is neder. That's one explanation that Ran gives. The other one is it's not a matter of reciprocity so much. It's a matter more of the kur chitim of shtei chavei shoyayin. That's a huge amount. A kur of wheat is about 500 pounds. Two barrels of wine, especially according to the Ostrovtsers, the theory over there, a barrel of wine he brings on the basis of various gemaras, a barrel holds 100 lugs. 100 lug, yeah, so it's a huge amount, yeah. Yeah, so...
500 pounds is a
core? Approximately. Really, a core is a measure of volume, not a weight, but okay, let's not get into that. Why would a person be offering such a big gift? But Pashto, because the other guy did something really good for him. So therefore, you have this logical argument, you did something really good for me, I want to be able to give you a nice present in return. And if not, I feel like I'm indebted to you. I feel like I'm a dog, like I've only taken from you and not given.
Basically, I'm insulted.
Sort of. Whereas in the case of our Mishnah, it's not such a huge thing. It's a meal. We're not talking a seven course dinner. We're talking, you know, come sit with me and have a cup of coffee and a dance, you know. So then you could argue that the fact that he's making a neder along with it, the neder is kind of only a figure of speech then.
In the dinner.
In the case of our Mishnah, when he's inviting him to eat by him, but not with the kur, because that's a serious, so throughout the sugya, the Ran goes and explains how we can understand the various questions and answers and discussions that the Gemara is going to have as we go through the rest of the sugya. We can understand them on the basis of either of these two explanations, that either it's a difference between whose nechassim are going to be also on who, whether it's a matter of reciprocity, or whether it's a matter of a big thing versus a small thing. Okay, so then you could argue that Mishnah indeed is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might very well distinguish between the case of our Mishnah and that later Mishnah.
Why would you say Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov?
Because we know our Mishnah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We're trying to figure out, do the Chachamim argue with him? We don't have a proof that the Chachamim argue with him. For argument's sake, we don't know yet whether the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We could understand that Mishnah like the Chachamim and just say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that anything is Nidre Zeruzin and the Chachamim would say that anything is a serious neder. Or you could say that both Mishnayos, so according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and he himself would make a distinction between our Mishnah and that other case. Again, either because of reciprocity or because big versus small, yeah. So you don't have a proof. Okay, Toshma, come, let's try to bring another proof, also from the same Mishnah. If someone says to his friend the other way around, a koinam on what you would have hana from me, meaning that I'm offering my nechassim to you, if you don't give my son, which really means me, a quart of wheat or two barrels of wine. So here it's the other way around. Here it's not he's offering a gift. Here he's demanding. Here he's demanding a gift and saying, if you don't give it to me, then you're going to be offer in my nechassim. So Rabbi Meir Omer Ad Sheyitin, so the Meir says, or Osir Ad Sheyitin, in fact he will be Osir unless he actually gives the amount, because otherwise a person has the ability to ask for his nechassim on somebody else. So therefore, yes, then the condition took effect, so the neder will take effect. No, even in that case, you can cancel the neder without a chacham. Again, either does it mean that literally you don't need a chacham at all, or does it mean at least that the chacham doesn't have to find a pesach because the pesach is very blatantly obvious, right there from the circumstances. Similar idea. Because he can argue and say, you know what, fine, let's consider as if I received it. Now, why would he?
He says, remember, neder falls. Till the guy gives.
Unless the guy gives. If he gives, yeah.
Knows,
yeah.
Then there falls unless or till.
Until.
Maybe until he gives.
Yeah, until.
So it's a shot. Then there falls, and then all of a sudden you give me Lamafrey, it gets canceled. How is
that? No, that means that if he gives
if
him.
Falls, it falls, if
he no, it means once he gives him, once he gives him, he's mutter to have an offer from his Nechazim.
This was a.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a real measure, in other words. Yeah.
But in the measure, he's not. Thinking
that
forever.
No. It's So what's the point? So the Gemara in Gittin, where this Indian is also discussed, explains the idea is why would the guy be asking for this core of wheat, two barrels of wine in the first place? In the previous case, we were saying that the other guy must have done him some great favor at some point, and now he wants to reciprocate. Here it's the other way around. He's saying because, for example, he has child support expenses. He has his own children support. So he's telling the other guy, I need a quart of wheat and I need two barrels of wine. Later on, he can say, you know what? After all, I don't need it. I'm able to afford it myself. After all, so therefore, the Chachamim argue that in that case also, same as in the previous case, he can say, "Zeru kvodi, I'd rather have the cover that you offered to me, and I'm not going to accept it." Here in reverse, he can say, "Yes, when I said it to you, I originally needed it, but now I don't anymore, and therefore I'm willing to consider as if I accepted it."
It's also a figure of speech, in other words.
Well, that's the question. No, it's not a figure of speech, then. The point, that's the difference.
As he retracts himself, it seems to be a figure of speech.
No, but that's the difference. We're saying a figure of speech is where, to begin with, he did not have, it was not piv libe shavin, that he didn't have in mind for it to be a serious neder, like the bargaining in the first mission of our parak. In this case, he really did sincerely mean it as a neder at the time. So, oymed al daite, mamed al daite, we've talked about it before. Just afterwards, he's saying, you know what, after all, when I see after all that you're not willing to give it to me, you know, then I wouldn't have made the neder in the first place if I'd known that or whatever. Fine, I'm willing to consider as if I already accepted it.
So it was a real neder.
So it was but you have a pesach over here. Yeah. So again, time of the Amah Harei Nikilei is Kabalti. So again, why are we saying it's mutter? Because he says, after all, you know what? Let's consider it received. Halav hachi nederu, which again would imply, if not for that, it's a real full fledged neder. And again, let's ask Kavani, Ira Belazim and Yaakov Nidre Zidruz and Havi. Again, if we say it's according to Belazim and Yaakov, shouldn't we assume that it's similar to our Mishnah, where Reuben wants to invite Shimon, and we said it's only Nidre Zidruzin? El Olav Rabbanan. L'chora, that second part of the Mishnah, must be according to the Rabbanan. And therefore, Plegi, therefore we see that the Rabbanan do argue with him. And the answer is Lo'olam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. No, again, you could say that Mishnah is also when we have Rav Meir versus the Chachamim. Okay, Rav Meir is obviously Rav Meir, but the Chachamim over there, we could say, represents the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Let's say the other Chachamim indeed do agree with him. And again, Moedir Rav Elazar behind the Nidra Havi. Again, you could argue that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say that in that case, it really is a full-fledged neder until he says Kiluris Kabalti, until he says, you know what, consider it already as if you gave it to me and I received it. Because you can have the other way. You can have an argument in reverse. Mishum de Amarle, because otherwise you can tell him, Lav Malka Ana, the same way as we said before, that the giver, the one who wants to offer the gift, can say, I don't want to be like a dog, I don't want you to insult me, that I'm only taking from you and not having a chance to give. Here it's the other way around. He can argue, Lav Malka Ana, I'm not a king, that I'm going to give you Hana and you're not going to give me in reverse and you're not going to give me in return. So therefore, similar kind of thing then. When this person who's asking for the chavis, for the two barrels of wine and the quart of wheat can argue, you know what, all this time I've been giving, like a king who gives out largesse, who gives out gifts to his subject. You're never giving me anything. So if you don't give me this, stuff that I need to support my child, then I'm putting a neder and asking you on all my property. So again, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov might argue that is a real serious neder. until he gets to the point where he says, he's kabal. Look, fine, you know what, forget about it. I don't need it after all. Let's consider it as if I received it.
But up to that point.
But up to that point, it would be a real nedir.
The Chachamim would say what to
that? The Chachamim would certainly say, if the Chachamim in our Mishnah say that it's not nedir, well, that's the question. Again, we still don't have a proof, though, whether if that Mishnah goes according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, then we don't know whether the Chachamim disagree with him. Okay, we know Reb Meir disagrees with him, fine. But we don't know whether the Chachamim... The Chachamim might well agree to that, yeah. They might say that in our Mishnah, where he's inviting him and he's turning it down and he makes a neder, that would be Nidre Zeruzin, just like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. And in that case, it's not. But in that case, it's not. By the way, the Rambam points out over here...
I could go about the point, though.
Yeah. The Rambam points out, by the way, when we're saying over here that he can say Hareini Keli Kabalti, that I'm willing to consider as if I already received that, can we apply that to other things? What if a person, here we're talking about a person made a neder, if you don't give me such and such. And now he's saying, fine, I changed my mind, I'm willing to pretend that you did actually give it to me. Can we apply that to other things? Let's say, for example, he says that if you don't go with me to such and such a place, or if you do go with me to such and if you let's say for example the example that the Rambam gives from the Rashba is if you do go to such and such a place, then my nechasim will be hasar to you. So if he went there, can we say fine, I'm willing to consider as if you didn't go, or would we say it's different when it comes to giving things? After all, once I receive it, I can return it right back to you. So the fact that we could always pretend as if you gave me the quart of wheat and the two barrels of wine, I return them right back to you, and we're back to square one. Mashenkin, if I make a neder on condition that if you go someplace, then my nechassim will be offered to you, and you went there, well, you can't undo the fact that he went there. So therefore, the Rashba argues that in that case, indeed, you can't say that. You can't say that logic. You can't say keilu, I'm willing to consider as if you didn't go. Not reversible. The Ran disagrees with that. The Ran says that the Ran himself, but he says ikaman de polig. There's other opinions, other Rishonim that say that even in that case, he can say, you know what, I'm willing to forego my tenai. And Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. The Ramah brings both opinions. So you know, it being a matter of nedarim, you'd have to be machmir mesafet. But yeah. So again, we still don't have any proof whether the Chachamim disagree with Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and we certainly have no way of knowing if they do disagree who the halacha is like. Amale Makshisha Breda Rav Chista Rav Ashi. So Makshisha, the son of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi. We talked before, by the way, Makshisha, Rav Chista had two sons, Makshisha and Mar Yanuka. We learned about this in Ksuvus, that both of them had the same name. Both of them were named Mar. So very unusual that two children in the family should have the same name, but one of them was older, one of them was younger. So to distinguish them, they called one Kshisha and one Yanuka. In various places, Rashi and Tosfos discuss, is it that the older one was called Kshisha, which means the elder, and the younger one was called Yanuka, or is it the other way around? The older one who was born when Chista was younger was called Mar Yanuka. The younger one who was born when Chista was old was called Mar Kshisha. Whatever it is.
We talked about it in Yuvamis.
They appear. These Amoraim appear in a number of places in Shas. Yeah. So he said to Rav Ashi, Toshma, come, let's bring another proof from a Mishnah later on in our Perek. One of the four categories we said at the beginning of the Perek, that there's four categories of Nedarim that are not Chal to begin with. The first one was Nidrei Zeruzin that we've been talking about all this time. Another one is Nidrei Onsin, what's considered Nedarim of Oynes. For example, what happened is friend put him under a neder that he'll eat by him. And then he wasn't able to make it to the dinner because he got sick. Or his son got sick. Or the river flooded and prevented him from going. So then that's called nidre oinsin. You can't say that whatever the consequence of the neder was that such and such will be offered to you if you don't come eat by me will be chal, because in that case you weren't able to do it because of an oinus. Again, which implies halav hachi neder, which would imply if it weren't for that consideration it would be considered a real neder. Let's ask again, Mani, who is that Mishnah like? If that Mishnah would follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Zeruzin Havi, Lechora wouldn't it be a Nidre Zeruzin? Wouldn't it be similar to the case of Amish, no, when he's trying to invite him to eat by him? Elulav Rabbanan. So evidently that Mishnah has to be according to the Rabbanan, or plea, and therefore we see they argue with Rabbi Elazar. The answer is no. Again, La'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. No, you could say that Mishnah about Nidre Oinsin is also according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the other Chachamim would agree with him as well. You're thinking that the later Mishnah is talking about where the inviter is putting the invitee under a neder, meaning that you would think that the case is that Reuben is trying to invite Shimon. Shimon is trying to turn him down. So Reuben says, if you don't come eat by me, then I'm making a neder that you'll be usher in my property, which actually would be identical, at least pretty similar to the case of our Mishnah.
He's not coming anymore the house.
But that's not what it's talking about. Why? Does Mina ad adre le mizamna? No, the case could actually be. The case of Nidra Einstein is the other way around. It's the invitee that put the inviter under a neder. Namely, let's go through the story. What exactly happened over there? The Amale, Shimon says to Reuben, Mizamnes li l'sudas, are you going to invite me to your suda? Amale ein. And Reuben says yes. So he says, okay, in that case, neder ze olacha, fine, I'm putting this neder on you. That either your nechassim will be also to me or my nechassim will be also to you if you don't do that. The nadar, and then he went. So Reuben went ahead and made that neder. Then his son, meaning either one of them got sick, or his son got sick, or river prevented. So therefore, the invitation never happened. Then you would say that's the case of Nidre Oinsin. So the difference is, in other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would himself distinguish between whether in our Mishnah where the one who's inviting the other one is trying to bargain with him and get him to come, and he says if you don't come then I'm putting a neder on you. That we could argue is Nidre Zidrozin. Whereas the other way around, when Shimon is saying to Reuben, you're the one who has to make the neder, then that's different. You can't call that Nidre Zeruzin. You can't call that Nidre Zeruzin. Nidre Zeruzin is Reuben is trying to convince Shimon to eat by him. He was the other way around. Shimon is trying to convince Reuben to invite him. So that's not Nidre Zeruzin. That would really be a full-fledged neder if it weren't for the fact that there ended up being the oinus.
Another example,
you
coming over because it's not
called
a neder either.
Say what?
It's not called a neder either.
Well, it is called a neder, but it's called nidre oinsin. He's not liable for the consequences of the neder. For example, in this case, we're saying that if you don't invite me to your soda, then my nechassim and my property is going to be also to you. But since he didn't make it, not because the other guy didn't invite him, but because he got sick. Then therefore his nechassim won't be also. Yeah. His nechassim won't be also to the other guy.
If the guy asked him to come over, he didn't make it, for example.
That's what we're saying. If he didn't make it, that's called nidre oinsin. So the neder is a neder, but the consequences of the neder don't come into effect.
I understand. Yeah. But the question is, that situation, you have to make it
other than Amash? No, because it's nidre oinsin. It's an oinus. You don't have to. Yeah. Okay, no. You should say neder, but come on. No, come on. Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says, Yes, there are okay in Amar Ablazim and Yaakov. Beyond what it says in our Mishnah, the example where he's saying that I want you to eat by me, and if not, then I'm putting you under a neder. He goes beyond that. If one person says to the other, a koinam on what I would have hana from you, meaning that you and the chosim are going to be osir and hana to me, if you do not come and be a guest by me, and drink with me and eat with me some hot bread, and drink with me a cup of a hot drink, coffee. And the other person was makbid against him and said that absolutely not. I mean, he didn't just like try to evade it or whatever. He said definitively not. I'm not coming. Af'elim nidre zeruzin. Even in that case, it would be called nidre zeruzin. The point is that that's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
And
the Braitha continues, the Chachamim did not agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov in that case. Now the Yeser Arkein, the Yeser Arkein, one second. The Yeser Arkein, first of all, the Ran explains like this. We had the argument before where Reuben is offering Shimon, the two barrels of wine and the quart of wheat, etc. And he said that when the other guy turns it down, there could be an argument made that you're insulting me by that because you're only letting me take from you and you're not letting me give to you. Now in our case over here we can't really be saying that. Because what's going on over here? He's saying that if you don't come and eat and drink by me, then I'm asking myself to have any further hana from you. If we use the same logic of lav kalbana, we should argue that that is a sincere neder. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that it's still called nidre zeruzin. So the Ran says that from this we see, therefore, that the reasoning that we used before about lav kalbana is not really a genuine answer. The Gemara used it as a dichui. We used that as a possibility. We could say we tried to use that to find for how that Mishnah about the kur chitim could be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now that we reach this point over here, where we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not make that distinction, then we would see, according to that, that answer was not really a valid one. Because now we seem to see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that even where the person could make that argument, la kalbana, that still he would argue with nidre zeruzin and not a serious neder. That's one possibility. Again, we said before that it's not a stira, because before we didn't have the explicitly saying that it's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We were trying to say that maybe that Mishnah could go according to him. Now we see we don't have to say that. Now we find the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now we can say much more straightforwardly that Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim.
Who were arguing at the time,
Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Yeah. The other possibility, the Ran says, again, we mentioned before that there could be the difference between whether it's a huge gift, like two barrels of wine and a quart of wheat, versus a small thing, like a meal. If you use that answer, then you would say differently. That it's true, you don't have, it's not a stira to before. We could still say that the lav kalbana reason from before is valid. But we could argue that in this case, the fact that he's specifying hot bread, a cup of hot water, a hot drink, whatever, maybe by being so specific, maybe it's a real neder, not just nidre zeruzin. No, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying even that is nidre zeruzin. Okay, so, my lo hodu lo chachamim. Now, when we say that chachamim didn't agree with him, lav dafkilo b'kamaisa, doesn't that, on the face of that, doesn't that mean that they disagree with him even in the first case, the first case meaning our Mishnah, and then that goes to show Kamaisa means the first one. In this case, it means the Mishnah as opposed to the Braisa. Again, since the Braisa continues yesterday, okay, in Amar Rabbi ben Yaakov, then the Braisa is coming to add to the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov gave an example of nidre zeruzin. In the Braisa, he's giving a further example. If we assume that v'lo hodu lo chachamim means, the Gemara is assuming now that v'lo hodu lo chachamim means they disagreed with him on both cases, both in our Mishnah and in the Braisa. So then that would go to show that, in fact, that would answer our question to begin with. Do the chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah? Yes, they do. So that would show that the Rabbanan argue with him. Okay. Shmamina.
What now? What are they arguing about?
That would be the argument. Can we consider these kinds of cases, like we said at the beginning of the sugya, when we're not talking about two people bargaining in the marketplace, but rather one person trying to get the other one to eat by him, which after all he does want the other guy to eat by him, maybe that's meant as a sincere thing, maybe it's meant as a sincere neder. And not just Nidre Zirut. So the Chachamim would say yes, and the Rav Menachem would say no. And we would assume that the same machlokas they have in the case of our Mishnah, when he says, come eat by me, would be the same kind of thing as in the Braisa, where he's specifically mentioning hot bread and a hot drink, according to the Rambam's second explanation. Again, or according to the first explanation, that we'd say that even where he could argue La Kalbana, that we would say that Rabbi Lozman Yaakov would still argue that Nidre Zivuzin. So then that would mean that Rabbanan argue with him. Okay, Shmamina, that proves it. Yeah. Different Gersois over here, the Ran mentions that maybe the Gemara is not dealing with Tamaisa versus Basraisa, the first Machlokas versus the second one. Maybe just the Gemara is saying more generically that Rabbanan disagree with him, without even getting into the specific of in which cases they disagree with him, but at least we see they disagree on the basic concept. That's all Gersa. That's the Ran brings to Gersois. Okay, my Havi Allah, what's the bottom line then? What's the bottom line? Now, what do we mean by what's the bottom line? There's two possibilities. What the question is, either are they in fact arguing with him on both cases, according to the Girsa that is mentioned first versus second, then are they in fact arguing with him on both? And then the question would also be who the halacha is like. Or if we say that in fact the Gemara has established that in fact they argue with him on both cases, then the question would be who is the halacha like. Tashma, the Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. We see that Rav Huna said the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which, first of all, that tells us a few things, the Ram says. Number one.
The case when the rabbi goes to Rahamim and the halacha like him?
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes, for whatever reason, it happens, yeah. So, first of all, when Rav Huna is saying the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, there's a few things we get out of that. The Ram says, first of all, the Chachamim knew the Kabbalah that when Rav Huna is saying halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he meant to say that in fact, as we established before, the Chachamim argue with him on both cases, and when he says halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it means on both of them. That's one possibility that the Ram says.
Could it not be on both of them?
It could be that they argue in one case and not in the other. No, because the two cases are somewhat different. Because one is just saying generically a meal, the other one is specifying more specifically. One is that you're not letting me. One is a whole meal, which you could argue maybe is non-specific. The other one is more specific. The other one is you're not letting me do you any kind of favor, even the smallest favor, even just a hot drink and a piece of bread. So the Ram says that that's one possibility, what the Gemara means by pointing out this, that Rav Huna says the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and okay, the Gemara continues, v'chein omer Rabbi Abba, halacha Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that Rabbi Abba said the same thing. So one possibility is that it means that Rav Huna was saying or implying that they're arguing in both cases, and that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in both cases. Then the Ran says the Ran's own pshat is that he's saying when we say the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, what we mean is in the Braisa, where we know for a fact that they're arguing with him, then the halacha is like him. In the Mishnah it wouldn't be relevant because in the Mishnah we could assume the Chachamim are agreeing with him. It wouldn't really be relevant either way. We're saying the halacha would be like what he's saying. Where they disagree with him, the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Yeah.
But we don't know why the halacha is like this.
Because we're saying that even though we have the logic to argue that there could be a difference between bargaining and inviting somebody for a meal, in the end we're saying there isn't such a difference.
It's still
Nidre Zeruzin.
Still Nidre Zeruzin, but Chachamim have the numbers again.
Okay, but it doesn't matter, numbers and not numbers. Sometimes we don't go based
which
on numbers.
Times,
I don't know exactly what the rules are. That's, you know, but whatever. There are cases when we pass them, like the Yachid against the Rabbim for one reason or another.
It's a rare case.
I don't know how rare it is. I wouldn't say it's the most common thing, but whatever. It's not so terribly rare either. Mishnah says, Nidre Habai, the second type of Nidorim that we set up bottle to begin with, we said were Nidre Habai, empty Nidorim or exaggerated Nidorim. Mm-hmm. Namely, Omar, if somebody says, Koinam, I'm making a Koinam, and such and such will be also to me, if I did not see on this road as many as the people who went out of Mitzrayim, like 600,000 people. And that's an exaggeration. You couldn't possibly have seen that many people on this road. Okay, there's the different possibilities that the Mepharshim talk about. Is it that you never see that many people together, or is it even if physically there could be at some time they definitely weren't on this road, otherwise everybody would know about it and you wouldn't be having to make a neder. Or third possibility, even if there is a crowd that size, you're not going to see all of them because you can't possibly see such a large crowd all in one glance.
People, yeah.
Nowadays, you're going up in a helicopter, but come on, in those days. Yeah. So that's one possibility of a Nidre Habai. What we're saying is that Neder is not Chal in the first place. Or, Im Lo Ra'isi Nachash Kekoreh Beis Habai. Because we know it's an exaggeration. It's not meant as a serious Neder. And, or another example, Im Lo Ra'isi Nachash Kekoreh Beis Habai. If I didn't see a snake like the beam of an olive press. Now the Gemara assumes that means the Gemara first starts assuming when we learn about it tomorrow, we'll learn the Gemara's first assumption that it means the size. That we're talking about a snake as big as the beam that they use to press olives. And the Gemara is going to point out that in fact there are snakes that size. There are snakes that size. So therefore the Gemara is going to... I don't know what size the beam was, but whatever. There are some pretty substantial size snakes out there. Okay. But the Gemara is going to end up pointing out that it's not talking about the size of the snake, but rather some kind of characteristic that Toruf, the Gemara calls it, which is a few different possibilities we'll talk about. We'll talk about it tomorrow. In what way the snake, in some other way other than the size, that the snake might that the person is claiming that the snake resembled an olive press bean, but it doesn't. No snake is like that. Whether we're talking about the shape or the spots or whatever, we'll talk about tomorrow the details. But whatever it is, there's no such thing. So the Ramchand.
What do we call them nidre then?
Because the person made a neder, he said koina. But because so the Ramchand explains like this. The reason why the Mishnah is giving us two cases is the reason why the Mishnah is giving us two cases is because actually each one is a different kind of havad. Each one is a different kind of empty state. The Kiyotze Mitzrayim, the Koila Mitzrayim one is an exaggeration. He may have seen a very large crowd. And he's calling it Ka'ula Mitzrayim. He's exaggerating the size of the crowd. You know, instead he saw a crowd of 1,000 people. It's a figure of speech, basically. Instead, he's saying it was 600,000 people. The case of the Nachash Koras Beis Habad is he's saying an out and out falsehood. There is no such kind of snake. But we're saying it. So in the case of the exaggeration, of course, you know.
Saying the moon is as big as the sun. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, it is actually to our two appearances. It appears to be the same size. Actually, it's interesting since you mentioned that. But I'm explaining the Hilchos Shavuos that even though we've talked about before, I mean, there is a Shavuos Sheker, or not a Shavuos Sheker, a Shavuos Shav, when somebody says something that everybody knows to be true, like a Shavuot that this is a table, or when he makes a Shavuot on something that everybody realizes automatically is false, like the Shavuot that this table is made out of gold. What happens, that I'm actually simply mentioning it, that I'm mentioning an interesting thing. What if a person makes shvua that the sun and the moon are the same size? Or he makes a shvua that the sun is bigger than the moon. Now, the first one is false, the second one is true. But it's true, but on the face of it, trivially true, because of course, the answer is, but no. The average person doesn't realize that. The average person doesn't know the respective sizes of the sun and the moon. Okay, maybe nowadays they teach it in science classes, but back in those days they didn't, at least. So therefore, you can't necessarily consider such a thing to be a Shavuos Shav or a Shavuos Sheker.
It's not... He doesn't
Because the average person wouldn't know these facts.
Even if he sees the sun is so much bigger than the moon.
How do you see that the sun is bigger than the moon? When you see them in the sky, you don't know that.
Looks much bigger.
What are you talking about? The sun and the moon look the same size. That's why you can have total eclipses. Okay, whatever. We could get into a whole discussion. Now's not the place for it. But yes, in the sky, the sun and moon look approximately the same size.
So if
a person were to make a shvua that they're the same size, you can't call that a shvua sheker because they do appear to be the same size. And if he says a shvua that the sun is bigger than the moon, that can't be called a shvua shav because it's not an obvious fact that everybody knows.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's kind of off topic to what we're dealing with over here. The point is that Ran says like this: with the case of the Oyle Mitzrayim, the person is basing himself on a basic fact. He did see a large crowd. He's just exaggerating the size of it. So obviously, then therefore we would consider that an unserious neder. It wouldn't be whatever he said is also, if this is true, wouldn't actually be because he himself knows he's exaggerating. The other case, in the case of the Nachash, he knows what he's saying is false. He knows there's no such Nachash. But what is it? You still can't say it's a valid neder, because if he wanted to really declare these payers also to him, for example, then he didn't need to mention anything about snakes at all. He could have just said straight out, koinam, these payers are also to me. The fact that he added this detail about the Nachash, Kekoras, Beis Habad, demonstrates that he didn't really mean to make these payers also to him, or whatever it is that he said in a koinam, and therefore it's not chal. This is the Ran explains this. The Rosh explains somewhat similarly that both of them are basically the same kind of guzma. It's not necessarily like the Ran says two different types of exaggeration. They're both taking something that he saw and blowing it up into some other kind of proportion. And you go according to Loshen B'nai Adam, you go according to a person's normal Loshen, and these are not meant to be serious Nidarim. Okay. Gemara says Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Nidre Havai Mutorin, Shvuris Havai Asurin. A neder of a useless neder, like the ones of our Mishnah, an exaggerated neder, is mutter, but a shvua havai is also.
Mutter means what?
Mutter means it's not considered a neder. But a shvua of that kind would be also.
With the name of the Eibishter.
Now, there's a girsa on the side over here, which the Ran also holds according to this girsa, that no, it's the other way around. Just like Kishem Shinidre Havai Mutorin, Ken Shvuot Havai Mutoris. Just like Nidre Havai Amutor, so are Shvuot Havai. That if you make a Shvua, that such and such will be also to me. If I didn't see a Koel Mitzrayim, for example, then or not will be also to me, but I'll be also to do such and such, then it wouldn't be Chal either.
So what's the right
Different Gersa, different opinion. One thing is, a lot of Mephoshim discussed, not necessarily when we're saying Shavur Savai, when we're saying they're mutter, doesn't necessarily mean though that he might still not get Malkus for Shavur Shav. We talked about before, and the Ran points out in later on in the Sukkah, that there's no such thing as a neder Shav. A person would not get punished for making a neder Havai. But a person who makes a Shavur Savai would. He would get Malkus for that. Yes, so therefore so that could be one distinction right there. Yeah.
Just because he uses the neder Shav.
So, Hechidomi Shvur Savai, so what are we talking about when we say an empty Shvur? Ilema de Oma Shvurim Le Ra'isi B'Derech Hazeh? Is it just that he said a Shvur that such and such, if I didn't see 600,000 people on this road? Midam Kalmer? Did he really say anything? That Lashon has no meaning. And the Ran adds the words, Hare Yotza Shvur L'Sheker, the Shvur has come out uselessly. A sheker here doesn't mean a false shvur, but like a not even useless, not even a shvur shav. It's like there's no shvur there at all. It's like what he said doesn't really count for anything. Amar Abaye, you're right. Amar shvur shera isi. No, okay, but you could be talking about when he says a shvur that I saw 600,000 people, and then we're saying that then we're saying according to the different gear size that either such a thing in fact the shvur would be chal or wouldn't be chal.
So there is.
And so if he said a shvur that I didn't see 600,000, then that's meaningless. But if he says a shvur that I saw, then yes, since he didn't in fact see, then the shvur would, yeah. Okay. First of all, in that case, what's the chiddush? What exactly are we adding by that? And besides which, it has to be parallel to the case of a neder. Just like the case of a neder, we said before, is always a negative thing. Such and such will be also to me if condition. Sure, it also has to be such and such will be. Also, I will be also to do such and such. Or if not, whatever. So no, Rava says that the case would be if he says that all the peiros in the world will be also to me by a shvua im loira isi baderachazecha olam mitzrayim, if I did not see on this road like olam mitzrayim. What it is like this. Abaya was saying that let's go with the Girsa, because this is how the Ran does it, that Shavuos Havaya Mutter. Now you have cases where this thing is an exaggeration. You don't say because a shavua is a more serious thing, people don't exaggerate. People may well exaggerate with shavuos as well. But then obviously, Rava asks, in that case, wouldn't it be obvious that such a shavua is mutter, and also it has to be parallel to Nedarim? Rava is saying that just like we have a case later, for example, we have a case later on in the perek. What do we have? Where somebody is forcing a person, like for example, Moiches, a tax collector, is forcing a person to make a shvua that such and such will be also to me. All the payers in the world will be also to me if this money doesn't belong to the king. Now it doesn't really belong to the king; it's his own private money. But he's saying that in order to get out of this rapacious tax collector trying to collect from him. So by the same logic, by the same logic, then, what are we saying? So, he wouldn't have used the tnai like I saw a snake to throw us base abad in order just to ask for the food on him, because. Because then he has no reason to do that. He could have just said straight out of Shavua that I will be also to eat any payers. The fact that he uses this exaggeration shows that he didn't mean it as a sincere Shavua. So even though you might have thought that making such a Shavua is that you might have thought, in other words, that it would be chal because the shavua, and because he is mentioning that all the payers in the world will be also on me. But nevertheless, because there's this exaggeration involved, therefore we can say that not.
We would have thought,
for one thing, that he doesn't want to do a shavuos job. He doesn't want to do a false shavua because he doesn't want to get malchus.
Fine,
but that's the thing, because he didn't have to use anything involving snakes or anything. If he just wanted to make a plain old shavua, he could have just said it also. The very fact that he added the point about the snake and the kodesh beis habad shows that he meant it as an exaggeration, not as a genuine shavua, and therefore it's a shavuos havai, which we're saying is mutter.
Right, that's the point.
That's what Rava is saying. When we say nidrei havai mutter and shavuos havai are also mutter, that's what we mean. That in both cases, because there's Hawaii involved, therefore, there's exaggeration involved, therefore the neder is not a neder and the shvur is not a shvur.
But how could we have thought, if that's the case, that he would have been a shvur nevertheless? That's my question.
If it wasn't something that involved exaggeration,
no,
then yes, that's the point.
I understand.
Okay.
With exaggeration, how could we have thought that it was still a valid shvua?
The logic is, again, the same way as later on in the perek we have that somebody is making a shvua under duress, that such and such will be also to me, and nevertheless we say it's not also because it's nidrei onsin, The same logic applies here to Nidrei Habayit. Why is it not also? Because of that. Just like there it's not also because of the Einstein, here it's not also because of the Habayit. That's the point. The Chiddush is that you need to understand this is what Nidrei Habayit are, this is what Shavuot Habayit are, and therefore it can't be Chal because of the Habayit. Okay, so one more detail. Amalei Ravina L'Rabashi. When you're saying that, you're saying that the whole thing is an exaggeration. What about, maybe let's assume that this person, maybe he didn't see that many people. Maybe he just saw a nest of ants, which there may well have been 600,000 ants. He gave them a name, these ants are the people who came out of Mitzrayim. And then when he's swearing, it's an actual true Shavua. So maybe we shouldn't call it a neder or Shavua Tavai. Maybe it's sincere. Amalei. So Rav Ashi answers, Ki mishtaba, adai tididan mishtaba. No, because when a person makes it a shvua, he makes it on our das. The difference is that before we were talking about, for example, when we learned before about nadar b'cheirem, the one difference is the word cheirem itself does have a double meaning. Here nobody calls ants people and then thinks of them as Olam Mitzrayim. It's not a normal assumption. Second of all, also, there's the idea, there we're talking about a neder that somebody makes privately to himself. Here we're talking about he's saying to other people. So when he's saying a neder to other people, a neder to other people, adaitidi dan mishtaba, he's making the shvur based on our das, based on our understanding. We don't consider this possibility that there may have been ants that he thought of as people, etc. Well, Shittim Mekubetzes talks about the idea that the reason why the Gemara had to mention the detail about not Shittim Mekubetzes, actually the Ritva and the Ritva and the Nemuka Yosef talk about on the Rif talk about why we have to have the detail that he might have called them Olam Mitzrayim, because if he didn't, if it's just that he said I saw Olam Mitzrayim, then if he just said I saw Olam Mitzrayim, there's no reason anybody would assume, and a reasonable person would assume Olam Mitzrayim means people. That means that many people. But in other words, you couldn't say if he says Ka'olam Mitzrayim that it really means he saw 600,000 ants. Because Ka'olam Mitzrayim doesn't mean 600,000 ants, it means 600,000 people. But when he said, when he adds this detail, V'atik lan shma Olam Mitzrayim, that he, in his mind, called them Olam Mitzrayim, maybe that's different. But that's what we're saying, even that's so fine. In his mind, maybe, he thinks of them as the equivalent of Olam Mitzrayim, but we don't think of them that way, and he's going based on our das, and therefore it's not a neder and it's not a shvua. To be continued tomorrow, Rav Hashem.